Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming your way this morning, this hour here on the show in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news in 40 minutes. Ben Simmons and another example of a fragile psyche. Plus, more on the Oklahoma situation as longtime assistant coach Cale Gundy resigned. And now more details coming out. And new head coach at OU, Brent Venables, discussed it a little bit more in depth. But our next guest, before we get there, is a longtime NFL author and writer. He writes for ESPN and is the author of a new book called Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Joining us this morning on the show is Jason Reed. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, man. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to start with Marlon Briscoe, because a little over a month ago, he passed away at 76 years old. And I think maybe it was the first time some people had learned about Marlon Briscoe's career as a pioneer, as a black quarterback in the NFL, who then transitioned to wide receiver, but in his footsteps followed in the 70s and 80s some great full-time black quarterbacks. What is the legacy of Marlon Briscoe, and what did he create?
I'm so glad you brought him up first because, as you mentioned, Marlon just recently left us. He just passed. And when you talk about the history of black men at the quarterback position in professional sports in America, you cannot tell that story without telling Marlon Briscoe's story. You know, D.A., he was a guy who was not the prototypical size of the day to play quarterback. I mean, Marlon was 5'9", 5'10", maybe 177 pounds, dripping wet. And he played at University of Nebraska, Omaha, small school, but he was good there. But in 1968, when he came out, the old teams in the old AFL or the NFL were not drafting black men to be quarterbacks. So they drafted him to be the Denver Broncos drafted him to be a cornerback, but he said he wouldn't sign unless they gave him a try at a quarterback. Long story short, the process was rigged. They were never really going to let him play quarterback, but they just did it so he signed the contract. Well, as fate would have it, the starter got hurt. Other people were ineffective. They throw him in there, and to their surprise, he plays incredibly well. He winds up setting a Denver Broncos rookie record for touchdown passes, which still stands. He finishes high in the AFL Rookie of the Year voting. But he goes home to Omaha to work on his degree in the offseason, and he gets a call, and he finds that they're having quarterback meetings without him. And he's like, well, how can that be? I'm the quarterback. Well, they took the job away from him. It was one thing when the team was struggling and the starter was hurt and other people weren't playing well. It was quite another, though, to move forward and build around a black man in 1968. So he winds up getting cut in a dispute with Denver. He winds up getting released finally, reinvents himself, as you mentioned, DA, as a wide receiver, becomes one of the top wide receivers in the league with Buffalo, wins a couple of Super Bowls under Shula. He was on Shula's undefeated team in Miami. But he never got back to quarterback, and it's something that always left a hole in him for the rest of his life because he proved he could do it, and it was just taken away from him.
Who was the coach or the GM who finally broke through and said, you know what, I don't care, I'll be the guy that gives a black quarterback the starting job and I won't look back?
You know, I tell you, I've been asked this so many times that I really need to break it up into two answers. When we look at what happened with Joe Gibbs, the legendary Washington head coach, and Doug Williams, Joe Gibbs became the first head coach to start a black man in the Super Bowl. That was Doug Williams. And their relationship had spanned, you know, basically a decade at that point because they were together, you know, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization. Well, Joe Gibbs gave Doug Williams that opportunity, and Doug Williams became the first black quarterback to not just start the Super Bowl, but also win the game's MVP award as Washington crushed Denver. Then you move forward. Also, you have to look at Warren Moon, because he didn't get drafted in 1978 when he came out, went to Canada. Everybody knows he had a great career up there. Gets signed as a free agent by the Houston Oilers. And after a rough transition period, becomes a perennial Pro Bowler and is the only black quarterback enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I really look at that Washington organization, and I look at the Houston Oilers organization, though we all know that they then moved to Tennessee. But those are the two groups that really started to move this ball forward.
What about the Buccaneers, who had drafted Doug Williams in the late 70s, early 80s, and he had taken them to the playoffs? Were they not still completely supportive of him?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about the Buccaneers, you had the legendary former USC head coach John McKay, who was running the Buccaneers at the time. He dispatches a young Joe Gibbs, who's a running backs coach, to Grambling University to look at this black quarterback named Doug Williams and file a report. And Joe Gibbs' report was, this is the guy we got to draft. And Joe Gibbs and John McKay were very supportive of Doug Williams, but management wasn't. Doug Williams was the lowest paid quarterback in the league. I believe even many backups, if memory serves, were paid higher than Doug Williams. After Doug Williams helps him get to the playoffs, he wants to get paid. Ownership did not want that. Doug Williams, you know, he leaves, he goes to USFL. But then history, you know, we see what happens with history. He winds up with Washington, and as the saying goes, the rest is history.
Mm. Writer Jason Reed joins us this morning on the show. He's got a book called The Rise of the Black Quarterback that takes us now through the 90s, 2000s, and now into the new millennium, and black quarterbacks are everywhere, and they're succeeding at a really high level, and they're getting paid at a really high level, but they're still concerned perhaps that they are held to a different standard. Do you feel that way when you see some of the criticisms of, say, Lamar Jackson?
You know, Adia, here's the thing, and I want to be perfectly clear about this. There has never been a better time in the history of professional sports, most successful and powerful league, for black men playing quarterback. They are the highest paid. They are celebrated as the faces of several teams. They have once unfathomable power in the most, you know, like the most successful league, once again, in the history of professional sports. But progress is not perfection. And we see that Patrick Mahomes, the superstar quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, felt compelled to address some of the criticism that he and Lamar Jackson received recently in an article ranking quarterbacks. And what he said is that, you know, we've proven that black quarterbacks have proven we should have been here all along. We had to fight to get to this point. And even today, some of the criticism that we receive doesn't sound exactly like it sounds for some of the people who don't look like us who play the position.
You know, it's interesting because while I would certainly never discount racism in lots of different levels of sports and society, when I hear the criticism about Lamar Jackson, it strikes me that perhaps it's not racism. It is just that he has done something and is doing something differently than we've ever seen it done before. We just haven't seen an offense that is built around a run game led by the quarterback, and that there's just old school coaches that figure that'll never work. Now, that's stupid, because it is working, and the idea that he could win 12 straight MVPs and not be one of the best quarterbacks in the league is just ridiculous rationale. But is it possible that guys like Lamar, guys like Kyler Murray, are kind of breaking boxes, and just because they're unique and the first in some ways is why people are resistant to thinking they could be successful?
Dave, I'm definitely with you to a level, because, as I previously said, it's never been a better time for black quarterbacks in the NFL. Where I think I differ from you just a little bit is when that the thing you referenced about the 12 MVPs, one of the other parts of that quote by an anonymous defensive play caller was that the Ravens can't win passing the ball. Now, I would never try to argue that Lamar Jackson is the best pure passer in the league. He has to continue to make progress in the dropback game. I can also point to metrics that says he has, but to say that they can't win passing, I mean, that's just not true. Last year in week five, Lamar Jackson passed for 442 yards, four touchdowns, 2 2-point conversions, and had an 86% completion percentage. He set several records in that game. Now, that was a career game, but there are other games that Lamar Jackson has passed well in. Again, I'm not saying he's the best pocket passer in the league. He isn't, and he does have to keep working to drop that game. And I do agree with you that because of how they play, yes, there's a lot, I think, of the criticism based on that. But when you say to me that they can't win passing the ball at all, and that if he wins 12 MVPs, he's not going to be a top-tier quarterback, well, no, I can't buy into that.
Totally. Completely agree. And people don't realize how effective by the numbers Lamar actually is as a passer in crucial situations. So that whole rationale that anonymous coach used was so stupid and off base. Jason Reed joins us this morning on the show. In terms of Kyler Murray and that study clause, what did you make of it? And what did you make of the fact that eventually they had to eradicate that to quote unquote eradicate the distraction?
You know, D.A., here's the thing about that independent study addendum. It was a really bad idea on the part of Cardinals management. But I've been asked about this repeatedly, and people have tried to get me to say that, well, it was racist, and I do not believe that. I cannot draw a straight line between that independent study addendum and the racism of the past, the inherent racism. I can't even draw a crooked line. I believe that that is specific to Kyler Murray. And now, if this had been something that other teams had put in the contracts of, or attempted to put in the contract of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, yeah, I do get that. Then that I would buy into that. But it does bring back memories of a time when the black man in society and black quarterbacks in the NFL were considered to be inherently inferior, that they couldn't, the word was they couldn't read defenses. They didn't have the courage. They weren't leaders. So even though I don't draw a line between the racism of the past and what happened with Kyler Murray, it does bring back those memories and those bad feelings. Now, it was a horrible mistake on the part of the Cardinals management, a horrible mistake on the part of Kyler Murray's agent to allow that to be left in that paperwork. And as a result, after the backlash, they took it out. But the damage is done, D.A., because whenever Kyler Murray has a bad game, and let me say this, Kyler Murray was a rookie, AP Rookie of the Year on offense. He's been a two-time Pro Bowler, but he will have another bad game because quarterbacks and players have bad games. And I assure you, D.A., the next time he does, people are going to think, well, he must not have studied this week.
That's a good point. I think you're right in terms of attaching racism to it. It kind of feels like it's off base considering there's no way Russell Wilson ever needs that in his contract. There's no way that Patrick Mahomes is ever expected to have that in his contract. We just, even front offices, know those guys will put in crazy amounts of work and doesn't necessarily need to happen that they've got to push him any farther. You know, I'm wondering about the guys of maybe the previous generation, guys like Steve McNair. You had mentioned Warren Moon as well, Donovan McNabb, who had taken place maybe after a lot of the barriers have been broken in the 90s and into the 2000s and such, but aren't here now watching these black quarterbacks really, you know, strive and be some of the best in the NFL. Is there kind of a middle generation there that needs to be appreciated because they kind of carry the baton so far?
Well, you know, it's interesting, D.A. In researching the book, and I approached this book like I knew nothing about the subject matter, and, you know, about 70 to 75 interviews and about 88,000 words later, we have Rise of the Black Quarterback. But I wanted to look at the pioneers, and I really break it down like this. The pioneers, and I include in that group Marlon Briscoe and Doug Williams and Warren Moon, and I really, James Shaq Harris, the old quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, who was the first to start in a Pro Bowl, first to start in a playoff game among black quarterbacks. And I really go from that group really to the – when you talk about the middle group, I don't include Randall Cunningham in the pioneer in the sense of that group. He's a pioneer in that he was the first dual-threat quarterback, a superstar at that position in the league. But really that first group, and if you want to talk about a middle group, I could push Randall into that middle group to a degree. You know, I can even go with Donovan and Dante Culpepper. And then that middle group, that's what I put the middle group. You know, some other people may break it down differently. But then, you know, after 2000, after the 1999 draft, when three black quarterbacks were selected in the opening round, there was this tacit acknowledgement by the people who control the league, the people who can handle the marionette strings, that these guys are here to stay. Then we really move forward to 2001, where Michael Vick is the first black quarterback taken in the first round, and we are now in the era that we are now right now.
Mm. Jason Reed's an excellent NFL writer. Read him at ESPN and check out this book, Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. It's available now at Amazon and on Kindle and other places you get your books. Again, Amazon is carrying it right now, so you can order it today and get it tomorrow. Jason, it's great to catch up and take some time to talk some football, man. You're always welcome around here. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
You got it. Me too. Jason Reed joining us, talking a little NFL and quarterbacking before the season gets going. This weekend, all of the NFL teams will be in action with preseason. And away we go, right? Yeah, the Kyler Murray study clause is funny because you can't attach that to any type of history of previous quarterbacks. Kyler Murray's just seen as a child around his front office and around perhaps the NFL as well. He's a guy that loves playing video games. He's a guy that comes off as immature in other behavior. He's a guy that has said, I'm not going to kill myself studying. And this was a Kyler Murray clause. Nobody worries about Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott. I mean, those guys do tons of work. They're always in the film room. They're always uber professional. You know, this was just a Kyler Murray immaturity thing. I mentioned the Cale Gundy story, and I just want to follow up on that because Brent Venables kind of explained a little bit more of what happened. And just for some context, Cale Gundy is Mike Gundy's brother. Cale Gundy's been at Oklahoma for multiple coaching transitions. So Cale Gundy himself is kind of a layer of continuity that the Sooners want and need when you have a brand new head coach in Venables after Lincoln Riley left for the USC job. And so it was kind of, it was explained seemingly that player was distracted during practice or during film session or something, some meeting. And Cale Gundy, being frustrated, grabbed his iPad, read aloud what was on the player's iPad and happened to stumble through an offensive word. Usually when you hear that, you assume what that word is, the one word that obviously is toxic and diabolical and has caused a lot of people to lose their jobs before. So that would be what you would assume. And I think there was this kind of idea that, man, you know, stumbled into a briar patch there. You're reading off of a screen. Maybe you don't know what you're reading. You happen to say that word in front of a crowded room of young black athletes. And then suddenly, you know, you've made a horrendous mistake. And Gundy then resigned. But Venables didn't defend Gundy. Venables didn't say, yeah, you know, really unfortunate situation, one-time deal, kind of made a mistake. But Brent Venables kind of went the other way and said Coach Gundy resigned from the program because he knows what he did was wrong. He chose to read aloud to his players, not once but multiple times, a racially charged word that is objectionable to everyone and does not reflect the attitudes and values of our university. It is not acceptable, period. And look, you know, Brent Venables has to make sure that what his space is inviting and comforting and not antagonistic, especially racially, because he's going to recruit black athletes and most of his team is going to be, you know, kids of color. And so he's got to be very careful about that. But I thought it was interesting that he clarified, no, Gundy knew what he was doing and chose to keep doing it. And that's the one where the little red light goes off like, whoa, this was a little bit more serious than just grabbing a kid's iPad and mistakenly reading a racially charged word. And I think that what happened was, you know, it was one of those, whoa, what is going on here? And that ain't okay in any way, shape, or form. Maybe Cal Gundy's of a different generation. Maybe Cal Gundy's just trying to get everybody's attention. You know, maybe it's that shock value like Michael Richards, Kramer, was using in that stand-up act that went horribly awry. And you're like, oh, my God, what are you doing? But that Venables said, no, Gundy knew what he was doing and chose to use those words multiple times was a real eye-opener to me that, man, maybe this was way more severe than just kind of mistakenly reading a word that you shouldn't have read. Anyway, I'm sure there's going to be a player that probably tweets about this or speaks about this or the mother of a player or the brother of a player that explains it. We'll see if it comes out. But Venables making such a strong stance was very interesting. When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. And look, if you missed hour number one yesterday, we got to do this again. The Chris Moore and Billy Jock alone was just so good. The choking into, you know, a segment and then Billy having to swoop in was just so good. It was one of the funniest moments of the year. We got a replay coming up here next because even Pete wasn't here yesterday when we did it. We'll do that as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We've officially lost our minds here on the DA show. Welcome back. You can always watch us at watchda.com. Watch us as well on Twitch or on YouTube and chat alongside other D-Aliens. Intern Amanda was telling me yesterday that she thought she's tracking when she was working with us over the last couple of months this semester, that she was tracking all the comments on social media and the Twitch chats and the YouTube chats, and she was so blown away by how cool it was that we had a community of people that are watching and chatting and in on the jokes and understand one another and are friends with one another. And I said, I totally agree. That's what really makes this show so special. There's this kind of like layer of support and of propulsion because we get the energy of this incredible, loyal D-Alien fan base that is chatting and have their own show going on as we're doing a show. And I could only imagine what that sub-show was like yesterday at approximately 6:30 a.m. Eastern time when we got to soundcheck and hit the third clip, because we played a clip where Chris Moore lost his voice over the weekend, and Billy Jock alone is his producer. Now, just again, some background. Chris Moore is an older gentleman.
Not a grand. Well, actually, he is a grandpa.
I was going to say.
He is a grandpa.
He's probably in his 60s, and he's probably a grandfather at this point in time.
He is definitely a grandfather. I would say he maybe just passed 60.
He's also a taller individual. Yes. He's probably 6'3", 6'4", something like that.
Yeah, he's lengthy.
Lanky. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he's an older guy.
Right. Former voice of the Florida Panthers.
And he's got this great, rich baritone voice. And then you have Billy Jockalone, who we joke about is 152 pounds or so. That's one Jockalone as a weight unit.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
He's like 5'5", 5'6".
Which is one Jockalone of height.
5'6", yeah. 152. So he's a small guy. So when we are riffing into how it's almost like grandfather passing away and his grandson at his bedside, it literally, in my mind's eye, looks like that.
I picture Chris Moore laying back in bed like the grandpa in Willy Wonka, ready to shoot back up. What? We got tickets to the chocolate factory?
Exactly.
Look at me.
Exactly. Charlie. Charlie.
My legs are healed.
It really does conjure up that image. So just keep that in your mind as you listen to this clip that happened over the weekend.
Bound by anyone. There's no one that can stop them. So I wrote this week about the obvious flaw that we have with monopolies. And I wrote that there's never been a big decision made Excuse me. Sorry about that, Billy. Got a little sore throat working.
It's the Billy Jack Show.
Yeah, it might be if this keeps up. Wow, that got me.
We all have issues that
yeah,
we go
well,
through in life.
Quite know I had this one. But
I don't have I can't grow a full head of hair.
No. I hadn't heard that. Is that a concern for you?
Yeah, a little bit.
I swear, every time I listen to this, it's funnier and funnier. It's so funny.
The best line is still, got a little sore throat work.
I don't know. I still think this is about Billy, not about Chris. Because he also says it's the Billy Jack Show. So I'm like,
sorry about that,
we've been calling him Jockalone the whole time. Is it Jackalone?
Oh my God, there's so many layers to this. When we listened to it in real time on the show yesterday, I was tearing up. I was crying, laughing so much. And then I went home and I listened to it again and I was laughing in my office. I was just cracking up. And then I went out to the sofa and I said to the Bourbon Bell, we have to watch this. I have to listen to this. So we actually popped it up on the big screen because we have the YouTube app on the big screen. So we watch the whole thing. So like me and Bogus and Brez are just melting down laughing. And I still am like really tearing up as I listen to it because there's so much stuff here. I mean,
it's the Billy Jack Show.
He's waiting on the moment to swoop in. It says the Billy Jack Show.
Well, and also the more I thought about re-listening to this, the whole key there for Billy is just to talk for 2 minutes, give Chris the break, not go Q&A with Chris.
Not bare his soul. I can't grow hair.
And then it's the Billy,
excuse me,
Billy Jack Show. Now, first of all,
it's the Billy Jack Show.
there's also a moment where why does Chris Moore have to apologize to Billy?
Billy, yeah.
I'm sorry, Billy.
Sorry about that, Billy.
Like I let you down.
That's the grandfather moment.
I know. Like if I was choking to death on the air, the last thing in my mind would be apologizing to Mraz. I'm so sorry, Mraz. I know you've invested so much time into the quality right. of this show, and I've let you down.
And you need to see me virile and like strong and get through a show 4 full hours yeah, with no yeah. physical
Sorry
issues.
Sorry about that, Billy.
I know.
By the way, that clip is what you should send to the comptroller about the water problem here.
I've let you down again, Billy.
It's the Billy Jack Show.
I wish I could be stronger for you in a difficult moment. But then
so many Christmases missed.
But then Billy goes. goes, well, we all have issues in life, which is just... Chris Moore only needs a drink of water. He has got a sore throat, a drink of water. And Billy goes, we all have issues in life.
Right. Chris is the victim here. Something has befallen him. And then Billy makes a series of peculiar choices, none of which he had to make.
We all have issues in life.
We all have issues that yeah, we go well, through in life.
Quite no, I had this one.
And then Billy's like, well, I'm bald. I can't grow hair.
But, I don't have I can't grow a full head of hair.
No.
Right. Like I'm assuming Chris is actually not dying here. So this is lighthearted. He's making jokes, what? And Billy goes to, I'm bald, my life is ruined.
What you get there to Billy is, remember, he only watches Nets basketball while working at a sports station. He can't come jump in with a Kyler Murray take.
Oh, man, you're right.
It's like someone sitting on the couch pouring his heart out, and then he pulls him off the couch. Hey, I got no hair.
And then Mraz, I swear, has one of the great lines in DA show history as we are now riffing at the end of this yesterday on the grandpa, grandson, dying grandpa in his bed, Willy Wonka thing. When Mraz goes, I'm sorry I never took you fishing. I'm sorry.
Is that a concern for you?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm sorry I never took you fishing, Bill. I'm sorry I never took you fishing. Because now I'm thinking about Chris Moore like a little canoe and Billy off the back fishing for sunnies.
With those vests with all the pockets on them.
And Chris Moore has like a fishing hat with like hooks and lures. And then...
It's just the perfect follow-up to, I'm just working the little sun.
Sorry, Bill. Sorry, William.
Cast the line, I never did.
I should have been better to your grandmother.
The only thing Billy didn't do was Ben Stiller in what's the model movie where he coughs and goes,
Zoolander.
Yeah, he's like, I think I have the black lung too, Dad. Just trying to make Chris feel better.
Oh, man. I don't know. Did we dump that right in the 12 DAs folder? Because that is absolutely...
Yeah, it's going to get dumped. We just have a problem right now accessing the folder. That's another issue with this place.
It's also a water pressure thing.
Oh, man.
I got a candidate for the 12 DAs, okay?
Every time I hear that, I laugh more and more and more.
Billy
and more.
Jack Show.
It's the Billy Jack Show.
And then there's nothing.
Yeah. And what does the show sound like?
It's the Billy Jack Show.
Show. Billy Jack. Oh, sorry, Billy.
Billy just
the farm is yours now.
Billy just starts firing off Juan Soto takes.
It's the Billy Jack Show.
Put me next to my cat. Don't forget.
I'm sorry, Billy. They're coming for the farm. The bank's coming for the farm.
There's money under the floorboard.
Sorry about that, Billy.
I left you with nothing.
Burnt the inheritance on the ponies. Gotta talk to Uncle Jody.
What happened to Billy's parents, by the way, that Chris Morris is directly in control of him? What's that angle? That's for tomorrow's show.
Oh, man.
It's the Billy Jack Show.
I should have stressed education more, Billy. Nothing but... You're nothing but a coal miner like your father. Nothing like a coal miner like me.
Is that a concern for you?
Coming from a family of coal miners.
I'm now just picturing Chris Moore being Bobby Bacala's father in that one episode of The Sopranos, coughing into the napkin. Ronald Rosen off the land shooting.
Sorry. Billy, I'm going to show you one more time. I still got it.
You were born to a family of miners, Billy. You're going to die a miner yourself.
Wow. Pete loves Sopranos jokes.
I know exactly what he's talking about. The exact scene, too. It's just like one of those things that just pinpoints it right on top of it.
My pappy was a numbers runner. I was a numbers runner. And Billy, your kid's going to be a numbers runner, too.
We all have issues that
yeah,
we go
well,
through in life.
Quite know I had this one.
The feds are at the door, Billy.
I don't have I can't grow a full head of hair.
In real life, though, you know Billy's kicked back on the chair playing Wordle when all of a sudden he hears Chris Moore going down. It's the Billy Jack Show.
The Billy Jack Show.
We it's all have Billy issues Jack in life, Show.
Leaning back in his chair playing Wordle.
It's 1,000% the scene there on a Saturday. Nobody's aspired to be a weekend daytime board op more than Billy, and this is his moment to shine.
We're 7 minutes still from when the break's going to happen. Bill's like, Chris, you got to finish out the segment, man.
Right. I got Kevin Dexter on updates. He's got no opinion.
I can't bother Shep on a Saturday. This is all on you, Chris.
And that's why Chris has to apologize. I'm sorry, Billy. I can't finish this segment and toss to break. It's up to you. Billy Jackson. Eventually, I was going to bequeath Saturday afternoons to you, Billy.
We all have issues.
It happened earlier than I thought.
In life.
Quite know I had this one.
You're the man of the house now, Billy.
Sorry about that, Billy.
You'll have to host on Christmas Eve.
It's the Billy Jack Show.
Saturdays 2 to 6 outside football season. They're all yours, Billy.
Billy, I can't make it through another Thanksgiving Eve. You'll be on the air on both the network and the fan. Pete's got nobody left, Billy.
If they ask you to host Ion Football, say no. Say no.
I couldn't get a better shift rate for you, Billy.
It's two shifts, but they're paying as one. You don't want that, Billy.
I tried to save you from ACK and Ion Football, Billy, but I couldn't do it.
If I taught you one thing.
All right, what are you saying this morning, Chief?
It's the Billy Jack Show.
And I leave to my only grandson Saturday afternoons through the summer on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the Billy Jack Show.
With the headphones to do the first show, and the boss calling, "What are you doing?" Ah, oh, Chris left it in his inheritance to me.
Oh man, that's such a good clip. That'll last forever. That'll live forever. All right, AB has headlines.
Don't ever forget that Kevin Durant didn't want Kenny Atkinson as his head coach, so the Nets fired Atkinson and hired KD's choice, Steve Nash. And now Durant is done with Nash, and GM Sean Marks reportedly telling Nets owner Joe Tsai last weekend in London that it's him or that brain trust. Tsai tweeting last night, Nash and Marks have his support. Meanwhile, the NBA reportedly informed teams yesterday that Canada's COVID vaccine requirement will remain in effect when the new season begins. Players must have the shot or an exemption to cross the border and play the Raptors. Unvaccinated players will not be paid for any missed games. Losing at Dodger Stadium is one thing. Going home and losing to the Giants 1-0 is another. Manager Bob Melvin's Padres haven't scored since Saturday. They dropped 5 in a row overall.
There was really good energy in the dugout the whole game. We always thought every inning that we were coming up, we'd have a good chance to score. We end up losing again. So it's not going to be like this forever, but I think everybody's frustrated.
The Pods are 16 full games behind the Dodgers now in the division. That doesn't matter. More importantly, they're just one game up on the Brewers for the last wild card spot in the NL. They are 1-5 since trading for Juan Soto and Josh Bell. The Yankees snapped their 5-game skid, 9-4 in Seattle. Aaron Judge with home number 44. The O's beat the Blue Jays 7-4, and the Angels
1-0 winners in Oakland. Jets head coach Robert Saleh just told our friends on WFAN that right tackle Mekhi Becton suffered a new injury to his right knee yesterday, not an aggravation of what cost him the final 16 games of last season. No public official diagnosis yet, but it does not look good.
Becton only played one game last year?
One game last year, went through an entire offseason of being out of shape, commitment, how's the knee, shows up, looks to be in some shape, playing right tackle, playing well, and then on a kind of innocuous play yesterday gets fallen on and
got called fat all offseason.
Right. And yesterday they thought, at first they said, knee looks stable, no big deal, precautionary MRI. And then the MRI was like, yeah, there's a problem.
Oh, that's terrible.
And last Friday, when you weren't here, DA, we were wondering why Josh Jacobs played so much in the Hall of Fame game.
For sure. I was thinking the same thing as I watched it.
The heavy workload.
By the way, I banged the over on that. Remember I told you that on Thursday?
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
On Josh Jacobs' carries?
No. On points scored. Yeah,
that's right.
Total of a 30 and a half. And I was like, that feels really low. And you had mentioned that historically the Hall of Fame game goes really low.
The unders, yeah.
But they hit that pretty well, in, I think, early in the fourth.
Wizard of Odds off to a fast start.
Right.
So the extra PT led some to think that they were showcasing Jacobs, but Raiders head coach Josh McDaniels said yesterday they are not trying to trade him. And now we get stuck.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
It's the Billy Jack show.
Robin 321 sent this one in twice. Everywhere Evan reminded me of it today on Twitter as
well. He's relentless, huh? Mm-hmm. He sends us in audio. He sends us in sound. He sends us in stunned to a news twice.
But perfect timing, because somebody last hour trashed people who drive their golf carts in the street, messing up traffic. I don't think, though, they were referencing this 58-year-old Florida woman who was arrested last week for driving her golf cart in the center lane of I-95.
No.
Not a residential street, one of the main highways in our country. A truck driver came upon this, noticed the woman seemed to be passing out, nodding off at the wheel of her golf cart in the middle of I-95, and expertly used her truck to gently force the golf cart off the road to a stop, got out of her rig, took the keys away, waited for cops to arrive. When they got there, the woman was combative, demanded her bag. In that bag, they found a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Unreal.
Now, thankfully, nobody was hurt. But maybe most stunningly, as far as we know, for all of this, driving maybe drunk in a golf cart on I-95, only misdemeanor charges right now, disorderly intoxication and resisting arrest without violence.
Holy crap, that's not a DWI?
I'm wondering if, because it's not a car,
motor vehicle,
if the laws are different.
It's not a motorcycle. It's not a car. So
it's not a thing you need a license for.
Yeah, but you're endangering others by doing that. That's a ridiculous charge.
That's the law they might want to change.
It should be more than a misdemeanor to be on the I-95 in a golf cart, maybe a little drunk.
Wow. First of all, that truck driver's amazing.
Yes.
Thank goodness that was a female truck driver.
Yeah.
Thank goodness she did what she did, because that could cause a pileup. I mean, number two, that woman in the golf cart hammered in the middle of I-95 was going to be a pancake within 5 minutes. I mean, imagine a semi sideswiping her or something like that. Number three, could you imagine driving a golf cart and onboarding into I-95
right,
and not being so freaked out that you like pull over and like walk away or drive backwards on the on-ramp?
Right, and the way the ramp works too, trying to hit, you know, the pedal on that,
that's
rough.
That's terrifying. And to get it, now what could a golf cart do? Maybe 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour
at
best. Probably more like 15 to 20. And you're on I-95 in the middle lane and everyone's going 75 by you? That's going to be absolutely terrifying.
How did she merge to the center lane to begin with?
Yeah, you got to merge into the center lane. Wow. Of course, Florida.
Of course.
The most lawless place on the planet.
And 58.
She's 58 years old.
Not, you know, 22-year-old partying, having too much fun. 58. Some Jack Daniels golf cart, $9.95.
And if you've done, I don't know where Titusville is exactly in Florida, but if you've ever done I-95 in the state of Florida, it's always bonkers. It's always like Porsches buzzing by, crazy pickup trucks buzzing by, semis buzzing by. I mean, it's always a disaster up and down the entire coast where 95 runs.
It's right near where NASA is up there.
the space coast.
So it's northern Florida.
Yes.
I mean, she is so lucky that she's not toast. The luckiest person in the universe. Okay. When we come back here on the DA show, we continue trucking right along on a Trash Tuesday. Send us your trashes. And also, how fragile is Ben Simmons? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
My man, DA, that's how you do it. You hammer that show and then you hammer that town. Proud of you.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA show available every single day on your free Odyssey app. 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Rick Bucher, NBA insider, said yesterday that after the Game 3 loss to the Celtics, the Nets were down 3-0 first round of the playoffs and were wondering, is Ben Simmons finally going to play? And Simmons was part of a group chat. And that Nets players asked him in the group chat text thread, are you going to play in Game 4? And instead of answering yes or no, simply left the chat. And Kevin Durant was like, this is who I'm playing with? This is what I signed up for? Now, the last thing in the world we should do is feel bad for Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant wanted James Harden. Kevin Durant wanted Steve Nash. Kevin Durant wanted James Harden traded. And so they got back Ben Simmons. And yeah, Ben Simmons is fragile. Ben Simmons is not dependable. Ben Simmons is not in a good place, clearly, for anybody to make as a centerpiece of a team, of a winner. But it's funny to hear KD being like, this is what I signed up for? Dude, you pulled all the strings on everything. Yeah, whatever you signed up for is because you did the signing. But Ben Simmons, I mean, just another example of how you simply cannot trust him, about how he hates confrontation. He cannot deal with answering questions. And he just has to hide. Let's face it, he's a kid playing hide and seek. He's hiding from everybody these days, including his teammates who wanted to know, are you going to play in Game 4 because our season's on the line? And instead of answering, he just hid and left the group chat. When we come back, did the Bengals undersell Joe Burrow's appendectomy and the KD story? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.